All right, get your ass in. Let's go. I'm driving today because you're under the influence.
I am under the influence, but I didn't know you were going to talk about this.
Yes, it's time for another episode of Who's Driving?
Welcome to Who's Driving? I'm Wesley Turner.
And I'm Stephen Merck. We're two best friends and entrepreneurs.
Who's Driving is an entertaining look into the behind the scenes of our lives, friendship, and business.
These are the stories we share and topics we discuss as two best friends would on a long road trip.
Along the way, we'll check in with friends and offer a wide range of informative topics centered around running small businesses, social media, and all things home and garden.
Buckle up and enjoy the ride. You never know who's driving or where we're headed.
All we know is it's always a fun ride. And on this week's episode, we're going to do a little Q&A roundup at the end because I put up a question box on Instagram. It's been a couple of weeks ago. So we're going to go through some of those at the end. But yeah, you're a little bit under the influence, so you're going to have to be a passenger princess today.
I am. I didn't know you were going to bring this up, but
well,
now that you did, no, I'm not drinking and I'm not a druggie, but I am getting older and I pulled a muscle in my back. I have no idea how I did it.
Maybe from the warehouse move?
I don't think it was that. I think it maybe was when I went to get the topiaries because I was crawling around in the man's truck like a monkey, just because I was the youngest and the slimmest person, and so I had to crawl around.
God,
in there.
That's not saying much.
I know, right? And evidently, I just twisted a little something, and so I took a muscle relaxer at 4 a.m. this morning. It is now 3:20, and I still feel it. That's a lightweight.
You are lightweight.
I mean,
I'm a lightweight. I don't ever take
it. When I was younger, I mean, that wouldn't have bothered me at all. But now I'm like, ooh. So definitely not cut out for a party lifestyle. That's for sure.
You're not going to party hard this week.
No, and I've taken some Advil. So I feel my back feels better.
Oh, that's good.
I can move without screaming. This morning I woke up and I was like all contorted. And when I moved, I was like,
My wrist is, for some reason, I don't know if I slept on it wrong or whatever, but it feels like it has tendonitis in it all of a sudden. I don't know what's wrong with it. We're just getting older.
I feel it in my wrist and hands when I work at the garden store for several days.
Yeah.
That definitely happens, but I don't know what.
I don't know.
What did we do?
I don't know. Well, okay. So we have finally gotten the warehouse move.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how we lived through that.
Never move it again.
It honestly wasn't as bad as I thought it would be.
Mm-mm.
But anytime you move,
it's bad.
It's bad. It's a lot, especially when it's a warehouse. And we had two warehouses, but our employees did great. So
yes, they did great. All of our helpers did great.
Yeah.
It was smooth as it possibly could have been.
Yeah. I think the funny thing was through the whole process, because, you know, I was trying to show it on Instagram, but I mean, it's just moving. So that's kind of boring too. But anyway, one of the most common questions I got, and we may have already talked about this, is were we not getting help to help us move? Like, help, were we not paying a moving company is what I kept getting. Like, why aren't y'all paying a moving company to move the warehouse and that sort of thing? Which I talked about it on Instagram, but we really couldn't do that. It wouldn't have been that beneficial to hire a moving company because of the way the warehouse is set up and everything. We had to get it all on pallets. And there was so much on the back end we had to do in the system. Like, we had to document everywhere the product was moving. It's going on this pallet. Now it's traveling here and updating it and that sort of thing. So really, the only thing a moving company could have helped us do was move the actual pallets. But that was honestly the easiest part because we were just rolling them on a truck and rolling them off. So
it wasn't bad. It was all just like when you move house, it's all the little things at the end.
Yeah. And honestly, I feel like the worst part is now that we've gotten it moved, which again, the employees are doing amazing. They're getting all the products back on the shelves and that sort of thing, but it's getting it reset up and reorganized. Mm-hmm. But we are shipping and everything should be catching back up and getting back to normal. So yay, go us.
Yeah.
And thanks to you all for helping us grow so that we needed a larger warehouse. And hopefully this one will, I mean, obviously we want to grow. We want to be the size of, I don't know, a Walmart distribution center. But
Amazon.
Yeah, but hopefully this one will last us a little while.
It's going to last us a while.
Okay.
I mean, I can't listen. In the next 5 years, we're buying a piece of land. And we're building a warehouse.
Oh, we are?
Because it's going to be the last move.
Hopefully, yeah. So, yeah, I'm glad we've gotten, you know, through that and everything is good there. So, if you've been waiting on a package or something, because we did have to, you know, delay our shipping about, I guess, a week. We stopped shipping on a Wednesday and we started shipping again on a Wednesday, this past Wednesday. So, all should be good there. What else is going on? Daniel's in Europe right now.
Mm-hmm.
Italy. I just talked to him a minute ago. He's bitter. Living it up over there. It's so weird because we really aren't ever really separated other than when we go to market
ever.
And stuff like that. Especially a big fun trip like this, but he got invited by his bulb supplier. So it wasn't like, you know, I wasn't invited. No one, it was just a few farmers going, just a very small group, and no one, you know, got to take a plus one or anything like that. But it's so weird because we're 6 hours behind them. So it's so weird mentally, I feel like, because normally when we're in Atlanta at market, that's when we're separated the most. That may be like 9 or 10 days, but that's 2 hours away. So I really, and Atlanta feels like just up the street. We're so used to it. So when we're there, I don't really feel like I'm that separated. Mm-mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like, oh, if something happens, I can be home in 2 hours. You know, it doesn't, but it is something about him being gone that far. And like this morning or last night, I don't even know how to say it. He was getting up early. They were going to take a pasta making class, because they got there a couple of days early, him and a few of the farmers, and they're meeting up with everyone in a couple of days this coming, I guess, like in a couple of days from now. But anyway, so they got up, I guess, at like, I don't know, 7 or something. So he called me because I was 6 hours behind, and you know, I'm a night owl. It was 1 a.m. So, and we had done a live sale, and then by the time I got home and fed the dogs and had dinner, or whatever, I was just like really getting home for the night. I was like, oh, just finishing up my day. And he's like, I'm just starting mine. So it's kind of
well, hurting. The only time we've been on that time schedule, we were all together.
Yeah, like, well, we went to Hawaii, which was so fun.
We got to get a trip planned.
I know. And we're supposed to go to Greece. We haven't planned.
We've gotten to plan that.
Haven't planned nothing, and it's already April.
I know, but we need to get it scheduled.
Yeah.
For like late July, August.
Yeah. We definitely need to get on that. So he's over there. He'll be there. He's got like another week.
Yeah.
There. So we'll be catching up with him. We'll have to have him on when he gets back to tell us all about his adventures.
Tell us about Italy.
Italy.
The only time I got to be in Italy. This is sad. So I was in Spain for my 30th birthday, which was great.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Mm-hmm.
Well, whatever year that was.
So long ago.
It was a long time ago. It was 21 years ago.
I'm just kidding.
That is a long time.
It is.
And we went to war. That's when we went, one of the wars. I don't remember which.
Yeah.
But we had went, the U.S. had went to war, and I was on a plane.
Mm.
So they turned my plane around because all
diverted you.
They all had to be grounded. Mm. So we got turned around and flew into Milan, Italy.
Oh.
It was pretty. I was there for a day.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Yeah. It was pretty.
And he's been posting pictures and sending, like, they're right now, like I said, they went a few days early. So they're in a villa, like in a smaller town or whatever. So they're walking everywhere. And he's like, every house has lemon trees. And there's all kinds, you know, just, he's like, rosemary's wild here. And it's so fun to see all the plants. And they're just in these small villages and walking around and stuff like that.
I'm so jealous.
I know. Maybe he's like, if you want to come back next year, I'll come back to the. I'm like, I'm sure you will. Who wouldn't want to go? So that's been fun. So with him gone to Italy, I've been playing Farmer Wesley over here.
You hadn't done much.
I know. I hadn't had to do much. He has great employees. So I don't have to do much. I have to just go out and check on things. I don't even know if I told you this though. But the first day he was gone, first full day, one of the coolers stopped working. one of the walk-in coolers. I was like, is this how we're going to start the trip? Luckily, though, he has three coolers and there's plenty of room right now. So I've got it ordered to get fixed or whatever. So I was like, here we go right off the bat, but it'll be fine.
Well, at least there's three.
Yeah. And then I'm on standby for peonies. It's almost peony season. And you know that they have to be harvested right. You know, just so they'll last the longest and that sort of thing. So he's like, now you need to go check the peonies like twice a day. It is crazy, like from day to day. But luckily we've had a few cool days, so it really slowed them down. So I haven't had to start. But before he gets back, I'll have to start harvesting those. And the employees will too. But see, they do it in the morning and then they leave and he's like, go check it in the afternoon. He's all about the...
Yeah, it's very time sensitive with those. And and with peonies, you have to get them just right where they're opening.
Yeah, so the best way to harvest a peony, and if you want to do this even for your house, even if out of your garden, don't harvest it when it's already fully open. You want to harvest it. I mean, you can, but it's not going to last as long. But what you want to do is harvest it. They call it the marshmallow stage. So you go out in the bud when it is swollen and like puffy, but hadn't opened, but mushy like a marshmallow. If you just squeeze them. And that's
and
when
fill
you
the petals.
Yeah. And that's when, once it's not a hard rock anymore and it's like marshmallow stage, that's when you want to harvest it. And then they'll last a long time. And even at home, peonies are one of the longest, like you can keep them the longest in a refrigerator and it not affect their vase life. So you can store them dry, just like wrap them up in like some paper or saran wrap and put them in your, like, you know, your salad drawer or whatever. And you can make them, you know, if you're having a party or you want
make them last,
save them and then pull them out and they'll bloom
and cut the ends off.
Yeah, you just pull them out, cut the ends off, put them in water, and then they'll bloom and they'll still have their same vase life as long as you harvest them at the right stage when it's marshmallow stage and not an already open bloom. So that's a little
now
a little
the funny thing is when I was growing up out in the country, we didn't call them peonies, we called them peonies. My grandma loved her peonies.
A lot of people call them peonies.
I think it's an acceptable to say, but it's just funny looking back because
peonies is such a southern draw it out type thing.
I went out there and checked on my peonies.
But then I feel like with my southern drawl, sometimes it sounds like pennies instead of
peonies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like pennies.
We probably would sound better just saying peonies.
Peonies.
Instead of peonies. They probably don't know what we're saying.
I know. They're like, what is that? What do you call them? Let us know. That would be a good poll. Text us on
where
our hotline.
Where do you live and what do you call them?
Yeah. That would be great to see across, you know, the country. So our hotline number is down below, but it's 864-982-5029. And let us know, like, what state you're in and what you call them. That'd be fun to see.
It's so fun, like, with so many common plants and flowers, what different people in different regions call.
Yeah, different things.
Like snake plant, mother-in-law's tongue. Right. I mean, everybody, wherever you grew up, has a name.
And, like, do you call daffodils or buttercups?
Well,
we grew up calling them buttercups, but then certain areas has something else that they call buttercups.
I grew up calling them buttercups, but I call them daffodils now.
Yeah, I do too. I don't know when I switched.
I don't know why I switched. Yeah. I guess because I learned the, I don't know.
Yeah. And probably being in the industry, like with the garden store and stuff, like when you order them, they're daffodils.
And paper whites. Like I've always called them paper white.
Right. Instead of narcissus.
But narcissus, you know, if fancy people call them narcissus.
I wasn't fancy.
They're trying to be. But one day I was caught off guard because I had, this was years ago, I had potted up, you know, I used to pot up a lot of bulbs holidays because I didn't do a lot of decorating. So I did bulb and I was carrying in this beautiful narcissus arrangement that I did, huge bowl.
Yeah.
And at the lofts where I live, and this guy came by and he was like, oh, I love your narcissus. Those are beautiful. And I was like, what? Because honestly, it wasn't
even... It just caught you off guard.
It caught me so off guard. Like, but paper whites.
Yeah.
I mean, I generally use all the common names.
And you, like you said, everyone has different names. That just made me think about when I graduated college and I have a horticulture degree, you know, that whole story. But anyway, I started working. We talked about it, Hastings, which is a garden mm-hmm. center in Atlanta. And, you know, I was fresh out of school. So I was like, I mean, I grew up, I got into gardening because my mom was always a big gardener and got into plants and that sort of thing that way. So I always grew up around it. But, you know, I started my job and I was like, oh my gosh, like they expect me to know certain things, you know, whatever. I was kind of in that, mm-hmm. felt like I was faking it until I make it. Because mm-hmm. No matter where you go, like you can just move, you know, I got my degree from Mississippi State, but things are different when you even move over to Georgia or move over here. And
definitely.
Like what you're saying, what people call things or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I can remember I would be nervous. I lived in an apartment, you know, and I would be nervous, like not nervous, but just like when people would
anxious
want me to help them at the garden store. Like, you know, the first couple of weeks, like, where is this plant? Because, you know, I was like, I don't even know my way around here yet. And you're asking me where this plant is or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so this woman came in and she was like, I am looking for your taparis. And I was like, taparis. And I was like, okay, Wesley.
What is a tapari?
What is a tapari? And I was like, tapari. And I was like, I don't know. I'm not familiar with the tapari. Like, I was going through this whole, in my head, like, you know, process of elimination. And like, can you describe it or
and
whatever?
Then you realized it wasn't your fault.
Yeah, it wasn't my fault. My fault. It wasn't my fart or my fault.
Who took the muscle relaxer and who didn't?
She was looking for topiaries.
Yeah. And you told me that story.
Calling them taparis.
Taparis.
And I was like, oh my gosh, you mean topiaries? And I was relieved because I was like, I'm not as dumb as I thought I was.
And sometimes your brain
she was like, oh my gosh, yes, topiaries. I don't know what I was thinking. You know, we were both kind of having the same moment or whatever.
And it's funny how sometimes, even though you know the name,
right,
but when you programmed yourself to call it whatever you're calling it, like African mask plant,
right.
A lot of people call that African mask.
Right.
And I call it polyalocasia.
Right. And it's just what you learn it as.
And so it always is one of those things I'm like, wait.
Okay, I know that.
You have to translate it.
Right. I know that. What is mm-hmm. it? Hold on. Rolodex through my
brain.
The
other thing that I never hear, and I'm surprised, and I never heard it when it was roots, and we did a lot of outdoor, is sedum. When I grew up, and I know there's different sedums, but you know, the most popular, the tall that blooms pink.
Right.
And, but growing up, I don't know if you've ever heard this. It was called house leek.
No, I've never heard that.
Yeah. House leek. And
that just made me think of another one I'll have to tell you about in a sec. But I've never heard that.
Yeah. House leek. So that was just, and I've never heard it, but like my grandparents all called it house leek.
Huh. So there is a, my mom's going to kill me.
Oh, I know what you're going to talk about.
But there is a plant called Hypericum, which is used a lot as a cut flower, but it's also St. John's wort. Isn't that right? Yeah, is a Hypericum.
St. John's wort's Hypericum?
Mm-hmm.
But the medicine part of, or the is the root.
Right. It's different. There's ornamental versions.
Because I love Hypericum because it's... I love the different colors of the berries.
Right. So that's what we grow them for is the berries, mm-hmm. the different colors.
There's yellow, green, red, pink.
Yeah.
I mean, and all shades in between.
So a St. John's wort's a Hypericum as well, but then there's the ornamental version. So it's spelled Hypericum.
Uh-huh.
And so my mom was like, what's that plant? I saw this plant and it's like Hypericum.
That's what I called it. Do you remember that? No. When we first met and we were doing,
it's like,
you were teaching me how to do arrangements and I was like, Hypericum.
Yeah. And I was like, Hypericum, what are you talking about? And I just busted out laughing. And I was like, you mean Hypericum? And she was like, oh my God. We still laugh about it. That's a
well, funny way. And my I thought you were going to tell this. So several years ago, we got these cut stems in at Roots, and I was like, "Oh, these are cool. What are they? They're very different." And Wesley was like, "They're hairy balls."
Yeah.
And I was like, "What?" And he was like, "They're hairy balls." I was like, "Okay, we need to call them like their Latin terminology. There's got to be another name." Yeah. He was like, "Actually, they're hairy balls."
Yeah.
So, I mean, we went with it. I was like, gosh, people are going to think we're crazy. So yeah,
Daniel used to grow them and I would show them on Instagram and I would be like, they're actually caught. And it's funny because the way they look
like a ball sack. They do. So I really never trusted. I trust Wesley 1,000%, but for years I never trusted hairy balls. I was like, this, we are just podunk hillbillies calling something hairy balls. And Wesley and I were in New York City on a buying trip, and we walk in, you know, we can't walk by any flower shop. Anywhere there's flowers, we're just drawn like a magnet.
Right.
And we walk in and there's a bucket at the door and there's a label on it and it's hairy balls. I said, well, I'll be damned. Even in New York City, they're hairy balls.
Yeah.
So, if you Google them, let me give you some advice.
Right.
Do not just Google hairy balls.
Right.
You want to do the plant hairy balls.
Yeah. Google hairy balls plant.
Yeah.
Make sure it's all in there. Yeah. Don't come back at us because you've went and Googled hairy. I mean, you can do that too, but... But hairy balls plant, if you've never seen one. And they're really cool. I don't know. Daniel kind of stopped growing them. I need to get him to grow us.
They're very interesting. And I think they do add a nice texture to an arrangement.
Yeah, they really do.
I
think he kind of stopped growing them. And well, you know, he just grows different things and things he can grow in bulk and that sort of thing. But they're in the milkweed family. So they have like a sap to them as
well. They bleed white.
Yeah, they bleed a white sap. So I think he just kind of, I don't know. And maybe just ran out of seed. Who knows why he stopped grabbing.
And it's sticky too. The sap is sticky. And
yeah, but they're so cool.
They are very cool. But I always loved having them in the store just because customers would come up and go, "Oh, these are so interesting. What are they?" And I would just stand there and look at the associate work. And I'm like, go ahead and say it.
Yeah.
Hairy balls.
Yeah.
Hairy balls.
That is funny. Another common one that we get a lot that people can't pronounce is bromeliad. So they want to call them bromeliads or what?
Bromeliad.
Yeah. So bromeliad.
I say bromeliad now. I think that's my natural because I've said everything. You know how you.
Bromeliad.
Yeah.
Is one we
get. Bromeliad is what I say.
Yeah. Bromeliad.
So, I mean, that's good. 6-1. And it was so neat when we went to Hawaii to see that growing in a tree.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
And the pothos.
Oh my gosh. It's so fun. That's like what Daniel was saying. Mm-hmm. Traveling in Italy, he was just like, the plants, like we've always gone to somewhere when we're kind of amazed by the plants, like Hawaii or somewhere tropical, but those are a whole different type of plants, like the pothos, the bromeliads.
They're tropical.
And it's really cool to see how big those get in places like that. But he's in the Mediterranean, so he's like, thyme is just like a weed here. And he was, you know, just talking about all the different roses.
It's dry, it's hot, it's dry, and those things just flourish.
Yeah. I mean. And he's like, it's just funny to see, you know, plants that we plant, again, like going somewhere tropical, just growing wild. But for us, they're either perennials or annuals. And here they're just everywhere, but it's the other spectrum.
And he's really seeing the vast, most different place. Like he saw Hawaii,
right?
So that's the lush tropical green,
right,
you know, with orchids and bromeliads and everything. And now he's in Italy in the Mediterranean, where it's the dry, you know, olives, all of that are going to grow,
citrus and everything.
Yeah
And then he's going up to the Netherlands at the end of the trip, so they're gonna,
you know, in parts of this country. You know, my ex's mother lived in Rancho Mirage, Palm Springs, and Always thought it was neat visiting her because at one end of her house, she had citrus trees. She had lime, lemon, orange, and grapefruit. Yeah. So you would literally walk around there and you could pick your fruit off of the tree.
I know. Isn't that crazy? It's
so cool.
For us, it's so cool.
Yeah, because it's not normal.
In Florida, there's places you can do that too. In Texas, South Texas, my aunt lives down there and they have citrus and that sort of thing. So it's just cool to see. We always, when we travel, are looking at the plant. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's the one thing, the common thread. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, we have this, but we treat it as a house plant. Or we have this, it's an annual. You know, it's just cool to
see. Well, and the fiddle fig trees, you know, in Hawaii are like oak trees here.
Right.
And, you know, mine had never fruited and all those fruited out there.
Yeah.
And then when we came back like a year later, I had my first one that actually fruited.
Right.
And and he has twice.
Oh, really?
Or she. I don't know if it's a he or a she.
Should be a she if she's fruiting.
Okay, yeah. She's fruiting, and it's really neat. It's kind of like a hairy ball without the hair. You know, they look like...
It's a fig.
Yeah, it's kind of a green fig, but they're a little more round.
Yeah. So what else do you got? You want to talk about some quick questions?
Yeah.
I think we should do this. I'm going to go through them. And some of these are recap questions. You know, we've gotten new listeners and that sort of thing. So some of these we've answered in the past. So we shouldn't spend, you know, too much time on them, but still answer the question in case you're new here. Yeah. And we can say like, oh, we covered that like in the first episode or, you know, whatever sort of thing. Because I'm just going to go down the list and read out a bunch. These are all from my Instagram. I was like, ask us questions. And then it's funny because you get some that are, you know, like ones I feel like everyone should know by now. But you get new people all the time. And I've gotten a lot of new friends over on the gram here lately. I got a lot of compliments. I would like to say thanks for that. A lot of people just said, talk about whatever you want. We just love listening and how many people love our podcast. So we definitely appreciate that.
Yes.
First question, though, are you and Steven related?
No.
We're not related.
No. I mean, I love him like my sister, but we're not related.
So we are not related. We've been friends since 2009. We're best friends. We're our only friends at this point now.
He's seriously like my brother.
Yeah.
And I'm an only child, so it fits. So here we are.
And we talked about that if you do want to listen more in our very first podcast episode. You can go back and listen to how we met and how Daniel and I met and all of that. But we're not related. Steven grew up here in South Carolina in
Clemson,
South Carolina. Mm-hmm. And I grew up in a small town outside of Memphis, Tennessee. And then I moved here back in 2005.
Mm-hmm.
Opened our store, our first garden store, Daniel and I, in 2009. And Steven lived down the street. And
that's how we became friends.
Yeah. He started shopping and
we both grew up in the country, just different states.
Right. Let's see what else. So are you and Steven business partners with the Nested Fig? Got that one a lot, which we also covered that back in the early episodes. But yes, we are business partners. We didn't start out business partners. I opened Roots first. And then later on opened our home store. And then we just kind of slowly merged together over that. And then years ago now, we became business partners. So we're business partners in all things the Nested Fig. So we have the Nested Fig Home, which is our local home decor retail store here in Greenville. We have the Nested Fig Garden, which is our garden boutique. And then the online store is the Nested Fig.
And Airbnbs. We do it all.
Yeah. And our Florida house we own together as well. And then you own a separate Hilton Head
Airbnb. And you own one.
And then Daniel and I own one as well. So that's the gist of that. Let's see. How many hours of sleep do you get? I got that one a lot. Or do y'all ever sleep? I love the podcast, by the way.
Let me put it this way. I wish I got like 10 hours of sleep.
Yeah.
I try to get at least 8. But every damn year that I get older, and I'm very thankful I'm still here on this side of the grass, but I just don't sleep a lot. So I sleep probably, unfortunately, like 5 or 6 hours a night. And that's doing well. I used to be able to sleep 12 hours at a time, but I can't now.
And I do, I get normal. I sleep 6 to 8 hours a night.
Yeah.
So we both get, I mean, you're probably we get less sleep. Than normal.
Yeah. But just because of my age.
I have a bad, I've been doing better this year. I mean, I'm not as late night. I'm just such a night owl. So, and I get more work done, but I feel like our work balance, mine personally, has kind of evened out the first part of this year. So I'm mm-hmm. able to go to sleep earlier, I feel like, but mm-hmm. I do stay up way too late sometimes, but I've been working on that. So, but I still get, you know, 6, 8 hours of sleep. I couldn't go if I didn't, as much as we do, because we're always on. Just yeah. go. Steven has a side business of remodeling homes for clients, How long has he been doing this?
So design.
Yeah, so design. So you've shown some in your mm-hmm. Instagram stories mm-hmm. recently. But yeah, so he'll do design. He'll help with design work. And that's something with the home store, we've always done. And I used to do it, but I don't anymore just because you can't do everything. Yeah. But Steven will for the right amount of money
mm-hmm.
and the select client.
Mm-hmm. So I hate to say it like that, but that's the way it is.
Well, I mean, it takes a lot for it has to be worth it. I'm not saying you're like gouging anybody
no.
for money. I'm just saying it has to be a project that
is worth the time.
It's worth yeah. the time. It mm-hmm. falls into the place timing wise because mm-hmm. you're not going to take on a design client in the middle of the holiday season. Mm-mm. And like, if someone's like, hey, I need my house
can't do it.
Designed in November, you're like, I can't do it. Mm-hmm. So you pick up maybe just a few a year.
And we tend to work together for years because you're yeah. A home is constantly evolving and layering and.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but I have to really like you.
Yeah.
Because it's such a very intimate.
You have to feel, the reason why I didn't enjoy it as much personally mm-hmm. is it's very intimate to be a designer.
You're in someone's home.
And you're telling them not to do something, but they love it. Mm-hmm. But you're like,
that's ugly.
But then design is so much an art, an so opinion,
and subjective.
So then yeah. it's like, if your views don't line up, it can be hard for the mm-hmm. designer. It can mm-hmm. be hard. So it takes a lot more work mm-hmm. than you think to do that.
And energy.
Yeah.
Energy. It can be energy draining or it can be
right.
Energy fulfilling.
Right.
And I need it to be energy fulfilling. I need to work with the right person. And it's me, not them. You know,
right.
sometimes it's just not the right chemistry. But yes, I do love to do it, but mm-hmm. It just has to be the right situation.
And I think now talking about the energy of it, not to sound corny or whatever, mm-hmm. but you're right. It's either fulfilling or it's draining.
Mm-hmm.
And I moved away from it because I was able to do our own house. And with Instagram, I'm able to redecorate mm-hmm. all the time. And then having the nested fig of mm-hmm. mine now that we're showing, you know, I'm constantly showing you how to decorate. I get all of that fulfilling energy
mm-hmm.
here in my own home. Mm-hmm. Showing other people how to decorate.
And I don't
and like then I get to do it on my own right. time.
And I don't personally like as much change in my home. I right. do update.
Right.
At least every year I add something, take something
but
away.
But you're not changing the whole seasonally thing. As much
and
your OCD and you like things in your place.
But I do love, I do. And see, with my design clients, we actually, 9 times out of 10, we become very close friends because you are working.
Right.
So close.
And you get them where you get a design client and you kind of lay out the understanding from the beginning. Like, this isn't going to happen like an HGTV show. We're not going to come in and remake your whole house in 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
It's a process from ordering the mm-hmm. furniture to getting it all done. And it's building layers. Like you said, mm-hmm. you end up working with them for
years.
Because you might start out, usually it's with someone who's moving or just built mm-hmm. a house. And they're like, okay, I need the basics. And mm-hmm. so you go in and you're like, okay, these are the rugs you need, the sofa, the chairs, the dining table, the light picture. You get that main layer done. And then you work together and we'll be anywhere, market, looking at stuff online, you know, vendors online, something will show up and you'll be like, oh, this is perfect for so-and-so. Mm-hmm. Let me send them a picture right now.
Oh, it's sold.
Yeah.
We got
and
it.
And you're like, it's sold. They love it. So mm-hmm. that's good. Or I'm ordering that
and
for
them.
And that's
how it works so well. Like when you're really on that same page together.
Right.
Because I just know them. I know their home. And I'm like, oh, yeah, this is perfect for this person.
And you try not to like force anything. Mm-mm. Like you might look for a couple of months, like they need this piece of furniture mm-hmm. or they have this hole where they need a piece of furniture, but it's got to be the right piece. Mm-hmm. And then you're constantly just, you have your eyes mm-hmm. open. And then you're one day you'll be like, this is the piece. And you just text them or call them. Here it is. They're like, yeah, I love
yeah.
it.
I mean, I was in, I met the grower in Boone, North Carolina, went, walked through.
For the topiary.
For the topiaries. Mm-hmm. Walked through an antique store and I was like, clients need this.
Yeah.
Gotta get this. You yeah. know, it's weird, but in a good way.
Yeah. But that's, so that's what you do. We got off on a whole thing there. Next question I got a few times was, have you seen that squirrel you raised lately? Or have you seen Autumn or whatever? Mm-hmm. So for those of you who are new, that's been years ago now, maybe like 2019 or something. It's been a while.
Wasn't it 2019?
2019. Yeah, it was.
It was before my mom got sick.
It was 2019 because it was, we took it with us to do my cousin's wedding because I had just gotten it and she got married in 2019.
Yeah. And here's a funny story. So I love animals too. All animals.
Yeah.
Maybe not snakes, but I love animals. And I've always loved squirrels for some reason. So, yeah. But I never had a pet one. But I knew people that did, so I'd always wanted them. And so Wesley was like, oh, we're taking Autumn with yeah. us. And I was like, oh, yay. And so she was in the van and she was in her cage. And I said, oh, can I pet her? And he was like, oh, yeah. She won't bite you or anything. I stuck my hand in the cage and she bit a chunk of skin out of my, I mean, bit a chunk
she
of skin
never
out of
bit anybody. I think she was scared because she was in the cage in the van and we had loaded it down with flowers.
Like, I mean, it literally like,
and I only had her at that point only a few weeks. I mean, she was little.
Or a week. Yeah. And I'm like, oh my gosh, wonder what kind of disease I'm going to get from this. Yeah. But it was fine.
It was fine. So if you missed it, so rescued a squirrel back in the day and we kept her in the house and we raised her because it was going into the winter time. So she stayed with us all winter. She was so much fun to have around. And her name was Autumn. People still remember Autumn. And for a couple of years, she did come back. She had babies, we noticed, and she would come back. But I haven't seen Autumn in probably a couple of years now.
I would say she's out there.
I mean, and it was like, yeah, she was. I do see a squirrel that comes the same pattern as hers, like down our fence line. And I'm like, is that Autumn? And she just doesn't come see me anymore. But, you know, she started coming. She needed us less and less. So she started coming less and less. And then it would go months. And then she'd show up on our porch and I'd give her some pecans or whatever. And then I think like over the next winter, you know, they kind of hibernate-ish. And then she just, after that, I really didn't see her anymore. But I did get that question. I still get asked about Autumn all the time. Where did you meet your husband? I know this is not related to your business, but you said ask anything. So Daniel and I met online back in 2008. So we've been together, it'll be 16 mm-hmm. years? 16 mm-hmm. years this year. And I can't believe it's been 16 years that we've been together. So we met online. And again, we covered that in one of the first few mm-hmm. episodes. So if you want to hear more about all that of our podcast, you can go back and listen to it. But we met online before apps were even a thing. Mm-hmm. I remember we talk about it like the iPhone. Daniel, when we met, he had just gotten an iPhone. Like they had just come out. And then like a couple of months later, I got one. And it's so weird now, like how far technology's even come since then.
It's crazy.
I know. So that's how we met. Is the upstairs room painting and makeover on hold now with the big warehouse move? So I started on Instagram. I want to redo the guest side of our house, which I've been trying to redo, I guess, since we moved here. But yes, it got put on hold because, well, a couple of reasons. One, I got an estimate for it to get painted and it was way too expensive. I was like, as much as I hate painting, I'm not going to pay that price just to get one room in a bathroom.
I don't know why we don't just have a painting party one night and just paint it.
We could.
Because, you know, we could do that in one night.
Oh, I know. I just don't want to.
rather waste that money.
Yeah, I guess so. No, I want to get it at a better deal is what I want. So then I did get a name of another painter that I'm got a call, but then I got busy with the warehouse move and I knew I couldn't do all that anyway. So
it is really painters. I think it's demand, but it has gotten really expensive. Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, a client of mine just got an estimate yesterday and paint the outside of a house that's like 3,400 square feet. Mm-hmm. So not huge.
No.
And it was $25,000.
Dang.
Now,
I'd get another S.
I would be out there with the damn paintbrush.
Exactly. Well, it depends on how tall it is and everything, too.
Yeah, they can't do it. It is tall.
But... oh, my gosh. Mm. But yeah, the room is still happening. We're going to make that happen. Next question. How can we rent your beach house in Florida? So I'll put the link to that as well. It's on Airbnb, but I'll put the beach house link down below in the show notes. But you can always go to my Instagram page at Farm Shenanigans. If you go to my profile and you click the link in my profile, which will bring up a link tree. So it'll bring up a bunch of different links. One of them says like Florida house or something like that. And you can always find it right there as well. But I will put it down in the show notes here as well. So you can just click right through if you were interested in renting that. Where do you get all your energy from? You're so amazingly energetic. I don't know. I don't do anything. I guess it's just natural. No.
Drugs, meth. I'm kidding.
No, I get that a lot that you're so energetic. But here's also the thing, because I don't want it to be like, oh, you're always just so upbeat and energetic. We all have moods, no matter who you are. I guess, like we've talked about before, our work is a lifestyle, and that's what we are passionate and love doing. So we have the energy to do it. It's not like, oh, going to work. But also...
sometimes it is, depending on what we're doing.
Yes, sometimes. But then also, I have low energy days, and I have days that, you know, I'm in a mood as well, but I don't present that. I'm not going to put that energy out. So I'll tell myself, okay, Wesley, you got to perk it up. You got to be good, you know. And so that's how I do it. Cause I'm like, I'm one of those believers that the energy you put out is what you get. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like you got to, if you're in a bad mood, you got to try your hardest to put out good energy to turn your mood around.
Yeah. And nobody wants a Debbie Downer.
Yeah. If you just wallow in it, it just keeps it going. So, oh my goodness. How many years have you had Romeo and Cleo? So I got Romeo, I guess I got Romeo for my birthday, I believe in 2017. What year did we move to the farm?
16.
Because you moved to your loft.
16.
We both moved.
Same week.
The same week. You moved to your loft and Daniel and I moved to the farm. So awful. I got Romeo March 30th of 2017. And he was just, I don't know, he was little, like 9 months. I don't know how
they live a very, very, very long time.
And then Cleo, when did I get Cleo?
Cleo, maybe three or four years ago.
Yeah. Now I had to look back on Cleo, but something like that. So they're still young and fun, and we love having the animals out in the front yard. Let's see what else. What is the long-term goal for the Nested Fig? Any aspiration to open another store in another city? Maybe. No. Long-term aspiration, I guess you would say, or a goal is to have franchise.
Mm-hmm. So if you're interested in a franchise, reach out to us.
Yeah.
Because we have, we trademarked our name. We've got our stores color-wise, very consistent look. We've been working on this for
years.
5 years.
Yeah. So everything we do, we try to do with that in mind, whether we end up doing it or not. But that's the goal. Mm-hmm. And we've had interest in that sort of thing. So you never know.
Neither of us will ever retire.
Oh no, we always doing something.
I mean, I toyed with that. That made a couple months, and I was like,
right.
Mm-mm.
I know you were like when you left McDonald's before you started real estate.
I'm gonna work part time.
Yeah, and here you are. That's how you got.
Just not me, and it's not you. Yeah. And I don't. I want. I enjoy what I do. I enjoyed McDonald's. I love this. I mean.
Let's see what else we got here. Speaking of designer rug sizes, should the entire piece of furniture be on the rug or partially off, or does it matter?
Oh my gosh. So I get that question. I don't think you and I've ever discussed it. I get that question in design when I'm working with clients more than any other question. And what I would say is, and I've just been working through this exact situation with someone. Personally, I like the furniture to be mostly on the rug, but not totally in the whole room. Because I feel like when the rug goes all the way, like if you do two sofas facing one another, I would not want that rug going clean to the back side of each sofa because it actually tightens the space visually. So I like just the back legs to be on the wood floor, whatever your flooring is, and then the two-thirds of it, the sofa on the rug.
Right.
But no, but you also don't want the rug floating in front of your furniture.
Right.
You want at least the front feet of your chairs and your furniture on the rug.
Right.
So,
and it's all subjective to the space as well. Going to your point, my sofas in our great room, the whole sofa's on the rug, but the console table or the sofa tables are not on the rug.
Exactly.
But we did that because that room is so big, we wanted to visually shrink it down a little bit to make that seating area feel a little bit more, you know,
intimate
or whatever. So yeah, you can use those design tricks.
But there's not a rule.
There's not really a rule. I would say the more wrong way is not to have any of the legs on the
rug. It's not the more. It's the wrong way.
Yeah.
You do not want your rug floating and not have any legs on the rug whatsoever.
Yeah.
That is wrong.
Yeah.
But, you know,
if you do that, which is always a good trick, because we've done it in my house, you've done it in your, we've done it all over. If you have a rug that you love and it's not big enough for the space, then layer that rug on another rug. Like mine, again, going back to my sofas, my great room, I have a very flat weave rug that covers the whole space because it's like, I don't know, the rug's like 15 by 15 or something like that. It's big. But then I wanted a pop of color and another rug. So that rug layers in the middle between the sofas. I mean, the legs still sit on the front, but you can use that tactic as, you know, if you're like, what? I have this really, you know, an antique rug or something and it's too small for my sofa legs to sit on there, but I still want to use it.
I layered a rug. I love a vintage rug, and in my back hallway, my guest suite, I layered that.
Yeah.
I put a sisal under that and layered, you know, layering rugs is always great.
Yeah.
So if you have one that you just love and the color's perfect, layer it.
Layer away. layer. Let's see. How did you get the live sales up and running? How many viewers at the beginning of the live sales?
That's a good question.
Oh my goodness. So we started the live sales back in, I guess now 2021 is when we started live sales, like the holiday season, like September, October.
It was September, I think.
Of 2021. So I actually had the platform that you use that for like a year. And I was like, because I'd seen a couple of other people do it. And I was like, this is really cool, but I don't know who's going to watch this. It was one of those things I felt like, I was like, who's going to do this? I can't do this by myself. Who's going to help me? And Steven was there, but it was just kind of one of those like gut feelings of like, how are we going to make this work?
We were surprisingly very, very pessimistic about the whole thing.
Yeah.
Which we're not usually like that, but both of us were like, I don't know.
Yeah. And now it's one of my most favorite parts of the business.
And it seemed very complicated.
Yeah.
And we actually had a sales rep say, hey, I think you guys should do this. And we were like, we committed to ourselves that day. We're going to try it.
When we get home. We were at market and one of the sales rep was like, guys, I'm telling you, you're missing out. Y'all have the perfect setup. You already have people that, you know, follow you on Instagram. You already have your online business. This is the piece of puzzle that you need to be utilizing. People will love y'all. And we're like, nah, who's going to get up there? It's like, who's going to get up there and watch me sell them something? Like, who's going to buy like that? And then he was like, you got to do it. So Stephen and I were like, okay, we're going to do this. This was like maybe in, I don't know, July, August sometime. Mm-hmm. We're like, we're going to get this going and we'll at least give it a try through the holiday season.
Once. We'll try it once is what we said. Yeah. We're going to try it one time.
We'll try it once, see how it goes. And then we'll, you know, assess the situation. So we did it. And from the very beginning, I mean, yes, it definitely started out. I can't remember how many viewers back then.
Not as many.
But it started out with less viewers. But we talked about it and kind of got the hype around it. And again, it was 2021, which I feel like is a little bit different landscape than now, because we were still in the middle of the COVID, you know, thing, and people were spending more and more time at home and they were bored and they were, you know, it was just a whole different thing. So I think that played into our benefit of getting it started.
The funny thing that I remember,
it kind of fast-tracked it a little bit.
It did, but the funny thing was we were like, okay, let's try it this one time. And we did it. And let's just say we did very well.
Yeah.
The first time. Not we, were we like, personally, we're talking
sales. We were like, dang.
Yeah. We were like, yeah, we're doing it.
See you next week.
The funny thing is that we tried to make it perfect. We thought we were on QVC and we wanted it. I mean, we wanted it studio quality, perfect. And let me just tell you, if you were there from the first one, you already know it was an absolute shit show from day one.
And it still is. Because
everything that went wrong could go wrong. But that's the beauty of it. Like, we were horrified, but that's what everyone loved.
Yeah. And it was so, I was so relieved, you know, because I was the one in front of the camera and you were the one behind it, which both were shit shows.
And we didn't know.
You didn't know what you were clicking and I didn't know what anything to do. You know, it was a whole learning curve, but you have to put yourself in those positions to grow in life and
personally
and your business. So if you're thinking about it, do it. And we just laughed with it. But then the response from everyone watching, they were like, we love this. Oh my gosh, this is the best thing. They were buying. And so we just have grown it from there. And now it's one of my most favorite things of the business. I never dread doing a live sale. I'm never like, oh God, we got to go do a live sale. It's always the most fun. But talking about it being a shit show, it's still a shit show. Like, we just had our first live sale at the new warehouse, which I worked on it. We have a new live sale area and it looks pretty and it's all set up.
And we went in like 6 hours before airtime.
Yeah, before the live. And we're like, you know, it's our first one. It's got to be extra good. We organized different products. We got it all set up.
I did a list. And we haven't been doing a lot of lists, but lists take a minute to do.
So on the backside, what he's saying is he has to create a list, a pre-populated list of every product that we're going to show in the live sale. And sometimes we do those, sometimes we don't. It takes a lot of time to do them, but it makes the live sale run smoother because he can just click on the next item. Otherwise, you have to type in the item number and it pulls it up and it just slows it down a little bit. But we're like, we're going to do the list. We got the set pretty. We got different products. It's our first one. We're
so
excited.
So I did it and I hit save and it just spun and I said,
uh-oh,
we have a problem. And I was like normally I can scroll up, I mean, and obviously you guys don't know what I'm talking about, but you can scroll up and it'll be something red right there. Oh, you need to change this number, you need to do this
before you save
Before you save it. And I'm like, there's nothing here. And I wasn't looking, and Wesley looked. He's like, oh my gosh, there's a banner in the background. And then that banner was like, comment sold is down.
Outage.
There's an outage. And I'm like, you're kidding me, right?
Yeah. I was like, no.
So Wesley was like, oh my gosh, you better write all of that down so you don't lose it. And I said, I can't write all this down. So I clicked photos of the screen. Thank God.
Right.
And then, so we said, we're going to go live and just tell all of our customers
that we can't do the
live. We can't do it.
Because I had reached out to Comment Sold and our rep, and they're like, yes, it's down. They're like, you can technically go live, but it will not show the products. And some people won't see comments. And it's like, yes, you can go live and communicate, but you're not going to be able to sell anything.
It was going to be even a bigger shit show.
Yeah. They're like, you won't be able to see the product overlay so that they can click, add it to their cart and buy. So we're like, okay, well, let's just go live and we'll give them like a special, you know, cashback bonus and just tell them we're sorry. We can't go live. You know, we can't sell them or whatever, sell them the stuff or show them the stuff. And we'll do that. So we sent out our live notice. Everyone showed up super excited and we're like, sorry, we can't. You know, can't go live or we can't show you things. Nothing's showing up. Well, we had put in an item and it showed up. And so then we were like, well, is it working? Is it not? So.
And it was half-ass working, but it was working. So then, everything wasn't working.
Yeah. Everything wasn't working, but working enough. Mm-hmm. And then all of you were like, yeah, let's do it. Let's keep going. But then I had gotten in my mind because this was 2 hours or like at least an hour of us trying to get it to work and not work. And I was like, well, let's just not do it, but go live and tell them what the problem is.
Oh, you had it in your mind. We were going home. Yeah. We were done.
Well, and I had put stuff aside. I was going to have a second camera. I had my table.
Even I was like, yeah, we're going home.
Yeah.
You know, it'll be fine.
So, but then it started working. So then right in the middle of the live of telling that we're not going to do it, we decide, oh, it's working, so let's just do it. And so then I'm thrown off. I'm like, I don't even know what to do.
But what I can tell you is 3 years ago, that would have never happened.
Yeah. But the point is, it's still a shit show.
Uh-huh. Even when it's out of our control.
Yeah. You just have to go with it and have fun and roll with it, baby.
Even 2 years ago, that would have thrown us for such a loop, we couldn't have even gone live.
And okay, and here's the other thing, going back to this person's question, is how many viewers did we have in the beginning? And I don't know the screen name, you know, like maybe you have a boutique or mm-hmm. you want to do this or whatever. And when we talk to other small store owners, we're always, you need to do this. You need mm-hmm. to do, well, I don't have the following that you do.
You will.
I don't have that. That does not matter. You have to think like a store owner. If you open your store, you can't have customers if you don't open your store. And when you open your store in the beginning, you don't have customers. You have to, you know, build those customers. But if you already have a store of any sort and you're in business, it doesn't matter if 5 people show Mm-mm. up. If 5 people show up and 3 people buy stuff, that's 3 sales you didn't have.
Mm-hmm.
And it just a little more effort. And mm-hmm. then it can get, you know, going from there. So if you are thinking about it as a business owner, do it. Do it. It's just a new age of having a store, and it's a new way to connect with your customers. And you may start out with 3 customers, you might start out with 30 customers. It doesn't matter. You can do things to build and just have fun connecting with those customers.
Even if 10 people show up, it will be fun, and 1 or 2 are going to buy from you. So just build it from there.
So I think it's time to pull this baby over. Are you still under the influence over there?
You know, I don't like taking these things. But my back is feeling even better than it was when we started.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Sitting in that comfy chair over there.
This chair is comfy.
Oh, good. So that's going to wrap up this week's episode of Who's Driving. It was me, by the way.
Yes.
We never know who's driving. Remember to leave us a review wherever you're listening to your podcast. I say it every week, but those reviews really help us out. Give us a star rating. If you wanted anything that we mentioned, like the Nested Fig app, if you hadn't got it, and you want to watch our live sales, if you don't follow us on Instagram, if you want to text us on our hotline, all of that's in the show notes below. So wherever you're listening to your podcast, if you just tap to expand the description, description of the podcast for this episode. It will show you all of that. We'll have our Airbnb listing there. Everything you asked for and I said I'd put in the show notes is right down there below for you. And we'll see you next week.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.